I feel like a lot of stuff has been said about the campaign already. So here's one thing Case, would you put that thing down? Here's one thing I actually do want to do. If you work on this campaign from one of the four key partner agencies, stand up. MTV, Planned Parenthood Federation, CDC, Kaiser Family. Okay. Now, if this is the first time, if you had already met someone from all four of the other organizations, sit down, or all three of the other organizations. If you had already met someone else, sit down. So this is the first time that we have been in the room together. This is kind of amazing to me that we can pull off this kind of a thing, you know, without actually ever meeting. Pieces of us have met with other pieces of us, but clearly this is a huge undertaking. And we've managed to get these people together somehow to bring these four. Does anybody here work in a bureaucracy? Would you consider yourself to work in a bureaucracy? Four bureaucracies that all function differently, and we did it without actually being in the same room. I think that's kind of cool. Some of this has already been covered, so let me just kind of run through it real quick. Most Googled on Google, most tweeted on Twitter. I just wanted to say that. lots of earned media reports about this campaign. A lot happened. This is just Planned Parenthood's data. This isn't for the other organizations. But my point here is that considering that this campaign really kind of came together very, very quickly last year, we got a lot of buzz. We got a lot of activity. But how do you measure buzz? And how do you measure activity? How do you measure whether you actually get people talking? How do you measure if you got people tested, if people are coming in to get tested directly as a result of this campaign? Especially when, you know, they've seen 150 commercials over the course of the last 10 hours of television watching. So how do they remember which one they actually saw that made them think about this? It's not exactly Budweiser. I mean, it's close. But one of the ways that you track media is through the surveys that go out. Survey firms that have about a third of a million people signed up on their rolls, and they're able to pull down a stratified random sample that matches the census or whatever. I mean, you could say, I want like left-handed women from Montreal who wear high heels or something, and you could get a sample of those people to do a survey with. And you know, we can't always do that from CDC, so that's very cool. So we bought a few questions on the Youth Styles Survey, which is the youth-oriented version of the Health Styles Survey that Porter Novelli conducts. We ultimately ended up getting a nice stratified random sample of 1,310 kids. Almost 12% of them said that they had heard of a campaign called GYT. We did provide them a little thing, like, have you seen this before in the media? And it was one of the GYT logos. 22% of them report going to a healthcare provider because of GYT. Now, I have to qualify this. 10% of people who said they'd never heard of GYT said that they went and got tested for an STD because of GYT. So you kind of think like, wait a minute here. So, you know, obviously the surveys have a few issues with them, but if you just, from a public health perspective, take a step back and say, what if a quarter of this is true? What if a quarter of 22% reported that, what if we got 5 or 6% of people who saw this campaign to go in and get an STD test? What other intervention do we have in public health that has anywhere near that level of effectiveness and this reach, this scale? I'm not talking about efficacy here, I'm talking about effectiveness. Places where you can go that we haven't been able to go before. I'm sorry, that was about going to a healthcare provider. 8.3% said they got tested for an STD. And then in terms of talking and seeking further information online, you see that a great many people actually talked to their sex partner, went online looking for more information, or talked to their parents or other family members. So that's the self-report from these surveys. Now let's go to another kind of data that we gathered. Because when you're trying to evaluate a campaign that goes out nationally on like 72 different media arms, half of which you've never heard of yourself, you really have to figure out, how are we going to evaluate this in a constructive way? Right now, what we've got is the ability to tell this story about GYT from a whole bunch of different angles. This is Planned Parenthood's angle. This is April 2009, which is the month that GYT ran. They had almost 300,000 female clients and 20,000 male. And about a third of those female clients were STD clients, but about three quarters of the male clients were STD clients. So it looks as though there are a lot of male clients coming in for STDs in the Planned Parenthoods. And then below that is the number of unique visits, which is, you know, slightly more than the number of patients, which makes sense. But this is only for 1 month from 85 of the reporting affiliates, and that's about, I don't know, 90% of their affiliates. So that's a good response rate, but that's only 1 month of data. It doesn't really tell us much. So in 10 of their affiliates, they reported what their April 2008 census was, and they reported what their April 2009 census was. Now, obviously, I can't tell you that 2009 was bigger than 2008, and it was all because of GYT, because nothing else changed in the universe. But, you know, this is another piece of the story that I'm telling. So the change in the percent, the change in the amount of male clients, there were 36% more male STD clients in 2009 than in 2008 April, okay? The change, the equivalent change for women was 18%. So there were 18% more women getting an STD test in April 2009 compared to April 2008. And then below those, I'll just sort of let you look at them yourself to see how many, how much we changed individual disease tests. But what I do want you to notice is our positivity rates didn't go down. If you get a whole bunch of people to come into your clinic and they've never had sex with anyone and you give them a chlamydia test, you'll end up with a really low, you know, really low chlamydia rate. If you bring in the worried well, who have used condoms every time they've had sex, they probably don't have chlamydia, so you're gonna get a low positivity rate. But our chlamydia rates didn't change in the negative direction. Our gonorrhea rates didn't change in a negative direction. That indicates that we did not just get the worried well. We actually got people who needed to be tested for chlamydia and for gonorrhea. When you look at the HIV tests, you have to be real. Those numbers are kind of bad because they found one positive in April 2008 and they found like 20 positives in April 2009. So it looks like an enormous increase. It's 19 more actual people, which is an enormous increase, but it's not quite the number that you see there. Now another piece of the story. So I've told you about Planned Parenthood in April 2009. I've told you about Planned Parenthood comparing April 2008 to 2009. Now we're going to switch gears and we're going to look at CDC data. An interesting thing about Planned Parenthood is that from what I can tell, and you guys have to correct me if I'm wrong, from what I can tell, they don't have like a national reporting system. Is that right for your data? You don't all like.
We do, but it lags in time substantially.
Right. Okay. Great. So, what we have is the Infertility Prevention Project, and we gather data on the reported chlamydia testing across all the states and territories, and several funded cities. Those data I have gathered here are from the first 6 months of every year, so January, February, March, April, May, June, for 2005 through 2009. The data set is not fully locked yet for the last quarter represented here, so April, May, and June of 2009 are unofficial data because not everybody has reported. But not everyone's reported, so that means that these numbers are the lowest possible numbers for 2009, okay? Whatever comes in after this is just gonna show more testing was done. So, I remember this great episode of Friends where, you know, nobody ever knew what Chandler did for a living and he was looking at a chart and he said, I'm happy because the lines go up. It didn't matter what the lines were, it's just he was happy because the lines went up. Well, in our case, I put a vertical bar on April 2009, which is STD Awareness Month, and hey, look, the lines go up. And you know, I still have a lot of analyzing to do because I literally, you know, got these data in shape last week. But what you can tell is that the top line is the number of chlamydia tests in women, the blue line. The bottom line is the number of chlamydia tests in men. And it looks as though, from just an eyeball glance, it looks as though we got quite a spike in chlamydia testing in April 2009. Everybody can say, ooh. Okay. Thank you. Jeez, I'm getting like nothing here. And this is the median positivity across all 50 states. The top line is men this time. In green is men. And in blue is women at the bottom. And this is positivity. And there isn't all that much to see in this graph except, as I said before, it didn't go down. So we're not just getting a whole bunch of worried well people into the room. We're actually getting the people who need to be tested. And I just want to end with this. This is from a cartoonist named Ed Stein, who formerly, of, I guess he's still in Denver, actually, but he created a GYT cartoon for that demonstrates exactly what we are trying to achieve here, which is to go into the vernacular of chat and try to make this a normal conversation. I hope that those pieces of the story add up together and make you see that GYT has been, from all angles that I can look at, a really great success. And again, I want to thank our partners as well. Thanks.